The following lecture was delivered at the 18th Annual National Jewish Retreat in Miami, Florida, a project of the Rohr Jewish Learning Institute. We hope you enjoy it. We encourage you to visit jretreat.com for information on upcoming retreats. Rabbi Pinchas Taylor will now present his lecture, Finding Your Purpose, your how-to guide.
The very first thing that we have to know and acknowledge is that we have purpose, that every human being has a purpose in this world because every human being is created in the image of God. Everyone was created in the image of God and given a divine destiny. You're here for a reason. God has a purpose for you. Okay, that's number one, fundamental idea. In fact, our tradition teaches that Adam and Eve were created alone in distinction with everything else in creation, right? When God creates everything else, he creates it in groups. So God creates the sun, the moon, and all the stars. God creates all the plants. Let there be plants, all the plants sprout up. Let there be animals, all the animals come up. But when it comes to the human being, he forms them from the dust of the ground, breathes the breath of life into them, but creates them alone. He doesn't say, let there be humans, and all the humans sprout up. Humans were created alone. And the reason that human beings were created alone is to hint at the uniqueness that every individual has, that everyone is worthy of saying to themselves that this entire world was created for me, that there's something that I can offer to the world that nobody else who's alive today or ever been alive or ever will be alive is able to contribute. That is a massive jolt of purpose right there. And so we all have purpose because we're created by a purposeful being who gave us each direction in our lives. And the starting point of recognizing our purpose always has to be knowing who you are and who you belong to. Meaning who you are, you're a human being created in the image of God, and who you belong to God. God has a special mission just for you. So who you are and who you belong to is the core of understanding one's purpose. In fact, every Shabbat, we're given the opportunity to remind ourselves who we are and who we belong to. We can get distracted through the course of the week, but Shabbat has the same letters as the word tashev, which means to return. It's an opportunity to, despite whatever distractions and involvements you were in during the week, it's your opportunity to return to the self. Remember who you are and who you belong to. Now, a person might ask themselves, how can I reclaim myself? I've been distracted and involved in so many things this week, this month, this year. My life seems very overwhelming. How is it that I can reclaim myself? And understand once again, remind myself once again who I am and who I belong to. Because when you remember who you are and who you belong to, God will take care of all of the hows. When you wonder, how am I going to reclaim myself? You remember who you are and who you belong to. God takes care of the hows. I remember hearing a story about a bunch of young bear cubs that were doing what bear cubs do, playing together. And out in the distance, there were a pack of wolves that were coming to devour these little bear cubs. And as the wolves got closer, the bears didn't move anywhere. And as the wolves got really close, the bears just sat there in complete ease. And just as the wolves got close enough, Mama Bear comes out of the cave, stands on her hind legs, lets out a big growl, and the wolves go running away. The little bear cubs didn't move because they knew who they were and who they belonged to. Nothing, no outside force is going to obstruct you when you remember who you belong to, that Mama Bear is taking care of you. And so when we ask ourselves, when we When we think to ourselves in our lives, or when people ask us, how are you today? We usually go to the knee-jerk reaction of fine, good, everything's great. But if we're honest, sometimes we might respond a little bit differently. My answer today, how are you? How are you? It might be I'm tired. It might be I'm in debt. It might be I'm lonely. Circumstances may have taken your how are you, but they can never take away your who. They can never take away who you are. And so when we think, how am I ever going to get better, right? How am I ever going to get well? I've been suffering with this illness so long. How am I going to get better? Remember, who is the source of your healing? When I think, I have so much anxiety, how am I ever going to sway this anxiety? Remember, who leads your destiny? When we think, how am I ever going to succeed in this recession that's coming, or deal with all the supply chain issues, remember that you are connected with the supply chain that never runs out, that never runs dry. Don't forget who you are and who you belong to. It says in the book of Jonah, he says over there that my life was slipping away from me, and I remembered the Lord my God. And he remembered at that moment, what that means is that at that moment he remembered who he was. And it was at that moment that the fish spit him out and he got on the right path. He forgot who he was, but when he remembered who he was, things started working out for him. So when you remember who you are, you can also endure any how. The story is told in the Torah of Yosef, of Joseph. Joseph, when he was a young man, he has this dream. And in the dream, his brothers and his parents are going to one day bow to him. And so his brothers are ostensibly jealous of him, that the brothers, the parents are going to bow to him, that they're going to come. He recognized, he saw that he had royalty in his blood, that he was going to be a prince, a king, that people would bow to him. And so his brothers ostensibly are jealous. They throw him in the pit. From the pit, he's sold into slavery. He winds up in Egypt. Then when he's in Egypt, he's falsely accused of wrongdoing and sent to prison for many years. And as he's sitting in the prison, as he's sitting in the dungeon, then he translates Pharaoh's dream, and he's made the prince, viceroy, vice pharaoh of all of Egypt. You see, his dream, his destiny, all came out to fruition. He became royalty, and eventually his brothers did come and bow to him. And throughout Joseph's life, the thing that kept him strong was always remembering who he was. He's a prince. He has royal blood. And if he's a prince, he's a prince whether he's in the pit, whether he's in the prison, or whether he's in the palace. He always will be a prince, and he can endure anyhow when he remembers the who. When you remember who you are, a child of God, royalty in your veins, you remember, you can deal with anyhow. And so why is it that if I'm a child of God and I have a divine destiny, why is it that we sometimes forget, we go in the wrong direction, we get misled, we go down the wrong path? What makes us forget is three things. Number one, we start thinking about things in a skewed way. Number two, we start talking to ourselves, telling us a story that isn't true. And number three, we live with resentments about past things in our lives and aren't able to move forward to fulfill our destiny. I want to go through some of these things with you just for a moment because I think it'll be very helpful in sort of shaping the purpose idea. And then we'll get into the actual tools that you need to discover your purpose. Okay, so the things that lead us off the way of our purpose is when we start thinking in the wrong direction, start speaking about ourselves in the wrong directions, or hold on to resentments and things about the past that don't let us go forward. So we think about the wrong things. We're all professional worriers. Our society is filled with professional worries. We have an epidemic of anxiety in our world. Now, you know, you ever realize that anxiety, that worry, worry is meditation just in the wrong direction. Right? You're always thinking about it. It's the way you process the world, just in the wrong direction. So the way that we view things, the way that things are going on the inside, when we remember who we are, if we look at things in a skewed way on the inside, we start looking at the world at large in a skewed way as well. I remember this beautiful story of this couple in the 1950s that was, they were in their house and they noticed that they had some new neighbors. And so the wife in the family was sitting by the kitchen window looking out to her new neighbors, and she sees something very peculiar. She sees her new neighbor, the new woman next door, is hanging out clothes on the clothesline. But the thing that she notices was that when this woman is hanging at the clothes, the clothing that she's hanging up is all dirty clothing. And so this woman thinks to herself, what kind of new neighbors do I have over here? Such a stupid lady doesn't realize that you hang up clean clothes. After you wash the clothes, you hang them out to dry. And she keeps noticing this day after day, week after week, every day. She's sitting, she looks outside, she sees her neighbor hanging up all of these dirty clothing. And she tells her husband, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even want to introduce myself to these people. Hanging up dirty clothing? Disgusting. What kind of people are these? After a few more days go by, she notices when she's looking out the window, her new neighbor is finally hanging out clean clothing. And she says to her husband, well, finally, you know, maybe I'm going to go over and introduce myself. Now, finally, she got a clue, and she's hanging up clean clothing now. And her husband tells her, not so fast. I don't think anything changed over there. You see, yesterday, I did a full deep clean of all the windows in our house on the outside. And I cleaned out all the windows, upstairs, downstairs, every single one. And so it turned out that the filth, that the dirt that she was seeing on her neighbor's clothing was really coming from her own windows. And sometimes that's how our lives actually look as well. We look at the world around us as sullied, as dirty, as smelly, as stinky, as rotten. But sometimes it's just a matter of cleaning out the windows in our own self. It's fixing our own perspective. It's not that the world necessarily around us needs to change, or that it's dirty or bad or ugly. It's that maybe there's something ugly on our windshield, and cleaning them out will help us see the world in the proper way. There was another story that I witnessed fairly recently with my own eyes, and the lesson is so telling. So I was with this family that they were moving their loved one. He was in hospice care in an assisted living facility, a beautiful facility. But he was going from independent living to assisted living. Fine. And so this man, this loved one that they had, he was almost 100% blind. Could just make out lights and shapes, but couldn't really see all that much. Legally blind. And so the nurse who's escorting him to his new room, his new facility, which was a beautiful facility overlooking the golf course, very nice. She starts telling him about the new room. She starts saying, she didn't know who he was, but was just moving him to the next room, said, your new room has this beautiful new couch, has beautiful chandelier in the room, and it has a wonderful view. And she starts going into this description, and the man says, I like it, I like it. And so the nurse says, wait, don't say you like it yet. You got to see it first. And he says, I already see it in my mind. It only matters how I see it in my mind. He couldn't see, but he saw with his mind, and sometimes we have to recognize that as well, that when we see things, it's how I see things with my mind that determines the reality that I live in, that determines the life that I live. If I think that I'm never going to get ahead, if I think in a sullied way, if I think that everything around me is out to get me and is dirty and is not able to be dealt with, I'm going to start living like that. But if I remember who I am and who I belong to, that God guides our destiny, God leads our life, God is helping us to fulfill our purpose in this world, all the opposition seems to fall away. It's the same with what we say. Not only the way that we think about things, it's the way we talk about our life, the way we talk about ourselves. Because we are godly, because we are created in God's image, we create like God creates. God creates through divine speech. We create our reality through human speech as well. It's a very interesting thing. In the beginning of the Torah, when God is bringing all the world into existence, it says God said, God spoke the world into existence. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be sun, moon, and stars. God creates through divine speech. Well, we create our reality through our human speech as well. And so it's interesting that it works like this, because whatever we say about ourselves or about our lives, we become that thing. Words, in fact, cast powerful spells. That's why they call it spelling. I'm not joking. That's why it's called spelling, because words cast powerful spells. So if I say, I am not worthy, I am a loser, I am a failure, we become that thing. We need to instead say, I am forgiven, I am free, I am blessed, I am uplifted. And when we think and we say those words over ourselves and those words over our lives, it's life-changing. Things become different. The third thing that stops a person, that prevents a person from moving forward on their God-given destiny and their God-given purpose, is the regrets and resentments that we have about the past. We carry all sorts of baggage with us about our distant past, our recent past, and it doesn't allow us to be who we're supposed to be. It drains us. It weighs us down. We're all walking around with a ball and chain. I remember hearing this story about an eagle. And usually when an eagle swoops down to get food, it swoops down and it gets a fish. It usually picks up some sort of fish. Well, this eagle, instead of picking up a fish, it picked up a little mole, right? A little mole creature. And so it's carrying this mole in the air, a little bit heavier than usual. And when the eagle finally landed on its next stop, the eagle just keeled over and died. And so when they went over to investigate what happened to this eagle that it just died all of a sudden, is that they found that the mole had bitten a very small bite into the stomach of the eagle. And as the eagle was flying, a little bit of blood kept draining out of the eagle's body and drained its entire lifeblood so that when it landed, it just keeled over and died. Now I want to ask you, are you holding on to something that's draining your lifeblood? That is slowly sucking the life out of you or quickly sucking the life out of you? A wound from childhood? A wound from adulthood? A person who did you wrong? Living in regret or anxiety? Are you telling yourself a story about yourself that's different than the truth? And so when we do those things, we veer off the path. We need to stick on our path, go to our God-given purpose, our God-given destiny. So the question, the big question of today is, how do I figure out what my purpose is? We all kind of know that we have this collective purpose. Humanity has a collective purpose. The Jewish people have a collective purpose, right? What's our collective purpose? Bringing godliness to the world through the fulfillment of God's commandments. Pretty straightforward. It's, you know, a lifetime achievement, but that's our general purpose. But that's the collective. That's what everybody's working on. But everyone has their own part, their own piece of the puzzle of how they fit into that grand picture. And so how do I and how do you figure out for ourselves what is my divine plan? What is my purpose that God has instilled within me to utilize and work towards throughout the rest of my life? I'm going to give you the tools. It used to be in the days of the prophets that you could just go to the prophet. And the prophet would tell you, come, my son. And he would give you, he can give you a whole rundown of your soul, what exactly you're put here for. But in the days of nowadays, where we don't have prophets running around, how can I and how can we look in ourselves and find what is the purpose in which God put us here for? So I'm going to give you four tools from our tradition, which are really five. The five is like the last one. It's a little secret one. We'll do that at the end. The four tools. First things first, and this works particularly well if you make it into a Venn diagram. Because if you make it into Venn diagram, what comes in the center is purpose. Now, it's not necessarily that everyone is going to walk out of here knowing exactly what their purpose is, but everyone will walk out of here knowing how to figure it out. Okay? Sound like fun? So far, so good? All right. The very first thing in a person assessing their purpose is figuring out, what are my talents? First thing has to deal with talents. What are your talents? Now, I know what happens a lot of people when you ask them, what are your talents? What do they say? I don't know, right? I'm not really good at anything. Well, the reason that people oftentimes overlook their talents is because they're looking in the wrong direction. What I mean by that is usually when we think of talent, what do you think of? Talent show. So if you can't dance and you can't sing and you can't juggle or something that you can enter into a talent show over, what happens?
I don't have any talent.
But that's preposterous, because God gives every single human being abilities that set them aside, that set them apart from everybody else. So everyone has talents. And I think sometimes we don't give ourselves the credibility that we deserve when it comes to our talents, because even subtle things set you apart. Even subtle things are talents that you might have that set you apart from others, that make you unique, that are part of your unique path. And so, for example, something like having a sense of humor, right? That's a talent. Being a good listener. Especially nowadays, right? We live in a world that is so distracted. Being able to give someone your attention is a true gift. And so being a good listener, anyone in this room, you can think to yourself, if you are a good listener, probably somebody tell you, you're such a good listener. And you thought to yourself, I didn't do anything. I just listened. Right? But you were actually engaged. You were actively listening. It meant something to the person. And so sometimes we think the people who have that particular talent, they don't look at it as anything that's particularly special. They think to themselves, well, everybody can do that. Sense of humor, everyone's got that. Good listener, everyone can do that. No, these are unique talents that have been deposited with you. These are things that God has given you in order to fulfill your particular purpose. In fact, even in secular parlance, what do we call them if somebody's talented? You have a gift. Well, who's that gift from? It's the who. Who gave you the gift? So when you have this gift, when you have this talent, that's a part of your purpose. It's a part of your mission. A bunch of years ago, I went to the bank to make a deposit. It was a rare occasion. And I was with my little girl, Peril, who's now 8 years old. She was 3 or 4 years old at the time. And so we were standing in line, she was holding my hand, and she said to me, because we were in this line, everyone's, you know, going and giving to the bank teller their money. And Peril says to me, wow, the bank teller must be the richest person in the whole world. Because all day long, people are standing in line and just handing them money, and they just putting it away. And so I explained to her, no. The bank teller's job is not to take the money and just use it for themselves. The bank teller allocates it to the proper place. And the truth is, if they don't allocate it properly, if they're given this money and they don't put it where it's supposed to go, they're penalized for that. It's the same thing with God. God gave you these gifts. God gave you these talents in order to utilize for your individual purpose. Now, your individual purpose is also part of that collective purpose about bringing godliness out to the world, right? Making this world a more godly and good place. But you each individually, we, all of us have this particular way of manifesting that. And so when it comes to that, God gave you this gift in order to do. God deposited with you, you as the bank teller. You're supposed to distribute it, allocate it, and utilize it for the proper purposes. And if you just squander it, we're missing the point. We missed the opportunity. God handed us a gift. God gave us these abilities. He gave us this nature of whatever. He gave us this nurture, this environment that would grow those abilities. And what did we do with it? So the first thing in the purpose, recognizing your talents. What's the second thing? The second thing is, what are your passions? What are you passionate about? What drives you? What are you interested in? What if you had all the money in the world and everything was taken care of for you? What cause, what direction, what type of engagement with the world would you want to be doing? Now, if you had all the money in the world, probably, I don't know, 6 months of just like taking a nice vacation around the world would be pretty nice. But after that, what happens? What do you do? What direction, what drives you? What is important to you? Where do you find meaning? Naturally. You know, it says in our tradition, in the Chovos HaLevavos, one of the medieval philosophical works, it says that in the same way that God has implanted within each animal the food that it likes, the appetite that it likes, and given it, contorted it, created it in the proper shape in order to go after that particular food, same thing God with us. So like, for example, the giraffe has a particular appetite to the leaves that are on top of the trees. And so God fashions the giraffe with a long neck to be able to get those particular things that it has an appetite for. And the same thing with us. If you have a drive for something, if there is a cause, if there is a direction, if there's something meaningful that you find fulfillment in, that you are driven towards, that you are inspired by, that you wake up early to read about, that is a part of your purpose. That's your passion. That's a part of your purpose. That drive is there for a reason. Now imagine what happens when you put that Venn diagram together and the things that you're good at and the things that you're passionate about overlap. There's power over there. There's power because you're never going to run out of energy for it. Why? Because you're good at it, and so you're going to like doing it, and you're passionate about it, so you're going to like doing it. And so you can wake up every day and do it all day, every day, not necessarily as your occupation, but that's the direction that you have. That's the scope in which you see the world, in which you invest yourself and your time and your energy. That's powerful. Now, when we add these last two bits of the Venn diagram, we're going to really see how it all comes together. The third thing, right? So we have talents, we have passions. The third thing is when we incorporate experience, your unique life experiences. There are certain things that have happened to you or that you've experienced or that have been a part of your life for the good or for the opposite that shape who you are, that give you a special sort of experiential knowledge. There's a certain value that comes from experiential knowledge, right? Would any of us in this room ever go to a doctor that only took written tests, that never spent any time in residency, has no experience? Why? They got straight A's on all of the tests that they took, right? And they played operation since they're 5 years old. So they have a lot. But unless you have experience, nobody's interested. Would anyone in this room take karate lessons from a sensei that read 500 judo books from the library? Or do you want someone that spent 10 years in Japan under like the mega sensei 5,000 degree black belt? You want experiential knowledge. Because experiential knowledge is worth its weight in gold. It's worth much more than any other sort of knowledge. And so in the same way, you've experienced certain things in your life, again, for the good or for the not good, whatever they are, but the fact is that they happen to you and you have experience with them, that itself can help shape the type of, that can go towards, be applied to your purpose. There's a reason that sometimes the people that suffer the most, let's say in their childhood, or undergo all sorts of trauma and abuse and whatnot, oftentimes are drawn as adults to participate or to devote their lives to helping others who struggled with the same thing, who experienced the same thing. And so someone maybe who experienced trauma and abuse might be led to helping people to be a therapist or something along in that scope of someone who also went through similar experiences. And because you have that experiential knowledge, because you have that experience, your perspective is ever more valuable and ever more real. And sometimes it doesn't have to be something earth-shattering or mind-boggling, something that's really good or really not good. Sometimes it's something simple that you experienced that helps shape who you are and can be dedicated to your mission. I'll give you an example. So when I was 17 years old, I came back to Florida after being away from home the first time outside in a yeshiva outside of the state of Florida. And after coming home, I came home for the summer. I wanted to make a few dollars. I wanted to work, figure out some way to make some money that I would have it for the upcoming year in yeshiva, some money to work with. And so back in those days, you couldn't just go online and look for jobs. And the job market is very limited for a 17-year-old kid. And so I looked in the newspaper, and the only thing that someone is going to be willing to hire you for 6 or 8 weeks, right? No one's going to train you if they know that you're leaving after the summer. And so the only thing that I found at that particular point in time was a telemarketing magazines. And by the way, if I called you during that time, I apologize. It was, and there's nothing wrong with that particular line of work, but it wasn't something that really fit in the scope of what I was kind of dealing with at that time. I was in rabbinical school. I was very happy, very excited to be embracing these studies and learning all sorts of meaningful and deep things throughout the course, all day, every day. And so it was quite a contrast coming back in the summer and like not only being in that environment, but like selling magazines, right? And there was this whole gimmick, the whole thing. Like if you sell a weekly magazine, they get 2 monthly magazines. It was the whole thing. And so I really didn't like it, but I got pretty good at it. You know, they give you a script and you kind of work with it and it made the money and I worked for, you know, and it worked out. But years later, I looked back and I noticed some skills that were acquired from that experience that were even able to be applied to my current and future self. Because if you can sell someone something that they don't want or don't need, how much easier and better is it when you can sell someone something that they do want and they do need? And so again, even though it wasn't this earth-shattering thing, some terrible thing or some wonderful thing or some overarching scope, it was one little summer doing work that I wasn't particularly happy with, but it actually had a role. And that experience shaped and continues to shape who I am. And we all have experiences like that as well. So again, first three things. Number one, your talents. Number two, your passions. And number three, your experiences, your own personal life experiences. Number four, right? Number four is your circle of influence. Divine providence has arranged this world in a certain way that you were born to a certain family, that you live in a certain place, that you have certain friends, that you have certain acquaintances and community members. There's people in your circle to varying degrees. Some are on the outskirts of the circle, some are more on the inner workings of the circle, but nonetheless, you have a whole circle that's a part of your life. In fact, we can't think sometimes of our own life without certain people in it. I don't even know what my life would look like. How many times do we say that? I don't even know what my life would look like if you weren't in it. It's a nice thing, but the circle of influence, the circle that we have in our lives of people, it plays a role in our own purpose and destiny. Meaning that whatever connections we have, whatever love and encouragement comes from these people, or the opposite, whatever adversity comes from these people, it's there to make you stronger. It is there to push you in the direction of your purpose for what, and again, from the good or for the not good. It's there to push you. They're there to push you. Okay, so it's part of our life. It's part of our life scope and circle, and when we factor that in with the other three, right? That you ever have someone in your life that's kind of irritating, and they kind of always detracting from what you like want to do? I'm sure nobody has such a person in their life. Wow, right? Yeah. That person sometimes makes you want to work harder. Like, oh, even if it comes from like the wrong place, it can be something that propels you in the right direction. So if they're being too intrusive and too annoying to you, you don't have to have them in the particularly close circle in your life. You can move them more to the outskirts. But everyone in our life plays a role in our divine mission as well. All right, so the four things, the Venn diagram, how does it work? What are the four things? Your talents, your passions, your experiences, and your circle of influence. Now, I said that there was a hidden fifth, because the fifth one, the reason I put it in parentheses is because it's kind of the opposite of the other four, but it shapes into them. So part of our purpose throughout Jewish tradition, throughout Torah literature, we are taught that if a person wants to know why they are here, what inside of them is to be corrected, what area of their personality are they meant to work on, there is one answer that you find across the board. What is difficult for you? What is your challenge? What mitzvah, what area of your life, what area of your personality do you find particularly difficult, challenging? Is it that anger? Is it that laziness? Is it that addiction? We have so many things we can fill in the blank with. What is your challenge? And oftentimes the greatest challenge in our lives are the very purpose that we were put here for in order to refine. God, it's a big indicator, it's a magnifying glass where God said, look over there, that's what you're supposed to be working on, that's what you're supposed to be working with. And so this fits in with the other four in the following way. So a person might think to themselves, well, how does that kind of fit with the other four? Let's say a person was given the talent and the passion and the experience and the circle of influence to be a very successful business person. They're just very good in the business world. They do it well, they enjoy it, they do it honestly, fine. But deep down inside, they are very, very stingy. And so what Hashem is teaching us is that I've given you the tools for the other four to make a success of yourself financially in order to balance out the challenge that I've given you of not wanting to give generously. And so the fifth element is parenthetical because it's sort of the application of the other four. The four help us to develop what areas I go in to figure out my individual purpose. The fifth is sort of the channel in which we can direct that within ourselves. How do you refine yourself when dealing with that in particular thing? Now, so far so good. So far so good? So these are the tools. Again, I don't expect anyone to walk out of here knowing exactly what their life purpose is, but focusing in on those four tools in the Venn diagram, your purpose will emerge. It will emerge. It might take some reflection. It might take some meditation. It might take some interaction with a friend or a coach, but it is there. It is found within these parameters. That's where our individual purpose lies. And so we have to make sure when we figure it out, we get in line with who we are as individuals, what our purpose is as individuals, that we don't allow ourselves to get distracted by the riffraff that comes about with life and start thinking that we're not supposed to go on this path, that start telling us a story about ourselves that isn't true, about our path, about holding on to things that aren't letting us move in our path. Don't tell yourself a story about yourself that isn't true. We find even in our tradition, we find even the greatest of our leaders at times fell prey to telling themselves a story about themselves that wasn't true. And God had to step in and remind them, don't forget who you are and who you belong to. Abraham is told by God, you're going to have a son, Isaac. You're going to have a son with Sarah in your old age. His name's going to be Isaac. It's going to be wonderful. Abraham says, how am I going to have a son? We're so old. How's that going to happen? And it says even that Abraham was an astrologer and he looked in the stars and he says, how am I going to have a son? It's not in my stars. And so God responds to him, who put the stars there in the first place? In the same way you see Jupiter over there, I'm going to put Jupiter over there. Don't ask how, remember the who. Moses, he confronts God at the burning bush. God says, you're going to take these people who have been enslaved for so many years. You're going to take them out of Egypt. You're going to bring plagues. You're going to bring them in. You're going to be the leader that lead them out into freedom. He says, how am I going to do that? I'm a stutterer. God says, who is the one that appoints leaders? Who is the one that gives you the power of leadership? Don't forget the who. When you remember the who, the hows fall in place. The Israelites, when they're being chased by the Egyptian army and they find themselves at the Red Sea, or when they get the bad report back from the spies after coming into the land of Israel, they say, how are we going to fight the Egyptians? How are we going to fight the seven Canaanite nations in Israel? How are we going to do it? Let's just give up. What does God say? Who is the one that fights your battles? Who? When we remember the who, when you remember who you are and who you belong to, the hows fall into place. Don't let yourself or other people write a story about you that is different from what God has sent you here to do. It's time for all of us. Whatever direction, whatever thoughts we've been having that have been stopping us from our purpose, whatever path we've been going on, whatever been the obstruction, whatever we're telling ourselves that is incorrect about ourselves and about our reality, it's time right here, right now, to erase and replace. That's it. Don't let your history obstruct your destiny. And so I want to conclude here just now with a little prayer for everyone here, myself included, that Hashem, help me remember who I am and who I belong to. And through remembering that we have a divine spark inside of us and a divine mission in front of us, may we all be blessed with the power to fulfill the purpose in which we were all given. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hi.
I'd like to know who's the best qualified person to know who you are. Is that yourself, your wife, your friends? Who's the best?
Well, I mean, ultimately, it's you. However, because there are people in our lives that are a part of our lives who have a more sometimes objective view of things, an outside view, sometimes they can kind of help you, you know, give you some food for thought that's useful, that you can look within and see if that kind of resonates. So you are ultimately the final say. You know yourself best and whatnot, but sometimes to sort of like find the thing is a spouse, is a friend, is a, you know, someone else in your sphere. So the question was, what if you have a lot of interests and it's hard to sort of pick one? So you're allowed to have lots of interests. I have lots of interests as well. The question is, in framing with the other aspects, what is something that I would really like to devote myself to and you know, invest my time, my energy in line with that? That doesn't mean that you can never do those other things that you're also interested in and passionate about as a hobby, as a side thing, as a, you know, in addition to, but there's sometimes a difference. If I have five things that I'm interested in, you know, I can pick one that is particularly meaningful, particularly resonates with me, especially when it's corresponded with the other three. The question is, let's say you've done something a certain way for a certain amount of time, and you want to sort of shift gears, or you're at a different stage in life, and you want to, I guess, continue, figure out where you're supposed to be at in your life right now. Yeah, this tool can be used. Some people use it, you know, every stage of life. So there's a different stage of life from when a person goes from single to married, when a person goes from married to children, when a person goes from children to grandchildren and retiring and so forth. There are different stages of life, and a person can always sort of reassess what they're meant to be doing in the here and the now with these particular tools. So the question is, how do we thin out the distracting noise in our circle of influence? So if the person is extraordinarily toxic in a person's life, you know, we're not going to address that, because that might, again, depending on the scenario, might mean you need to keep really arm's length or further than arm's length, foot length, you know. But typically speaking, there's a way that we sort of operate in that way organically anyway. You know, when someone shows their true colors, don't try to repaint it for them. And what I mean by that is, if you know who are the people that check in on you, that say that really show their care, even when you don't really need it. And then you have the opposite. You know, the people that really aren't there, even when you really do need it. And so I think organically we kind of shift perspectives. Don't keep relying on somebody who doesn't have a very good track record of being reliable. Don't count on emotional support or encouragement from someone who doesn't have a very strong record in doing that in your life. And I think we kind of shift. Like, you know, a person can be at one point a very good friend and move to friend and then move to acquaintance, and vice versa. It's a constant shift of where people are at in our sphere. Have a wonderful, wonderful retreat, everybody.
Please visit myjli.com to learn more about JLI's multiple educational offerings.